atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of David Sibley of Ready Reserve Foods, and we work with David, and because we think that every person who really values their faith and their family and their freedom certainly should be laying in a supply of food to protect themselves. I think we're headed into very difficult times. Have you ever heard of a time when beehives are disappearing and so many of our fruits are really dependent upon bees for pollination? And then, of course, now we're destroying a third of all the corn we produce, making ethanol out of it when it is the most inefficient means of creating ethanol. There's nothing wrong with alcohol, and you can do it with any form of biomass, but why use a animal feed because we're using ethanol, using corn to produce ethanol? Why the price of chickens is going up, and the price of eggs is going up, and the price of dairy products is going up, and this is used to fatten up the meat, and so the price of meat's going up. All of these things are taking place. Why would you do something that stupid unintentionally? And now, of course, with the great floods we've had there in the Middle West, and of course, either the farmers were not able to get in and get the crops planted, or if they were, they drowned, and now they're going to have to replant again. And we're only going to get about 50% of the crop this year that we ordinarily would if we get that. And, of course, people don't understand we do not have any massive supplies of food to feed our populace. We used to have 3 years' supply of wheat and other products and cheese and massive storehouses, and they don't exist anymore, do they, David?
No, they're all gone. Everything is empty, and we're down to enough wheat stored by the FDA, according to Larry Hagelin of the American Agriculture Movement, to make a half a loaf of bread for every American. That's it, folks. That's all that's left.
Well, of course, when will the wheat harvest be in?
It should be coming in, I think, about August, late August, in certain parts of the country. I have to make a phone call to my wife's cousin in Goodrich, North Dakota, and talk to him about the wheat. He's a wheat farmer up there.
All right, fine. Well, what is the outlook for the wheat crop? Now, we know that the corn crop and the soybean crop in the Middle West has been badly damaged. What about the wheat crop? Will that come in pretty strong?
Good question. I have to ask some more questions because I've been fixated on corn because it's so important. But my wife's cousin will be able to fill me in. But a lot of the wheat growing areas are in kind of I wouldn't call it a severe drought, but a threatening drought. Where the problem is, and I heard you come early on, that it's too wet. It's too wet to plant. It's too wet. In a lot of cases, I was reading on the Internet just before you came on that it may be weeks before the field's dry, that the flood may linger. But wheat is, the majority of the wheat crop right now appears to be, shall we say, okay, but threatened by drought conditions.
All right, of course, I think that people have to understand, they could put the corn in, but it's getting in so late that by the time we get around to about August, when the terrible heat comes there in the Middle West, instead of having corn stalks that are 3 foot high, they'll be 3 to 6 inches high, and those little corn plants will not withstand the heat. They'll just dry and shrivel up. This is the problem. This is what my cousin, who is a professor of agriculture, and retired now, but for many years, one of the key professors of agriculture in the country. Well, this is what he tells me. So I think people have to understand that we're talking about millions of acres of land here, farmland in the United States, not going to be used productively. A corn and soybean crops we know are hurt. Going to be interesting to see what happens as wheat. And what preparations have you made? People say nothing like this could ever happen. We could never have a famine in America. And I'd like to say, if God is just, why couldn't we? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is David Sibley of Ready Reserve Foods, and we work with David. And, of course, we send him orders from our customers, and they fill them. And things are really working a little bit better at the present time, aren't they, David, as far as your ability to fill the orders? Because you've had so many demands, you've just had to lay in tremendous advance supplies ahead of time.
Yes, we're increasing inventory. Normally, we try to keep a minimum inventory, because when I say minimum, it just... So it's fresh. Now, the clock doesn't start on the product. But because of the obvious increased demand, we've elected to, we'll say, quadruple the amount of inventory that we have standing on the floor. That minimum inventory is going, going up substantially, and we're looking at the possibility of quadrupling that also. So at the moment, we can get all the products, but this is, try to stay with me on this. This is... You can tell the knees are starting to knock on my suppliers. They're getting nervous. People that we've purchased from for years. I'll give you an example, Doctor. Years ago, if I needed a truckload of powdered milk, it would be available the next day. Now it's a 3 or 4 week wait. It's just not there. No one inventories this stuff. One of the reasons it used to be readily available is the government had stores of it. It was just everywhere. It was cheap. Now it's unbelievably expensive and getting harder to get. This is why we've elected to increase inventories.
All right, fine. Now, what about rice? Because last time I talked, had you on the program, you were having some difficulty getting rice. Are the rice crops doing pretty well?
So no, they're not.
They're not, okay.
Still too wet in those parts of the country. I need to make some phone calls to some rice growers. I've had other issues that have taken precedent in my life, and I need to touch base with some of these people about the condition. You were talking about corn earlier, about the stunted growth of corn. The old saying for a corn crop farmer would be knee-high by the 4th of July was that there will be no 4th of July. Even it's just around the corner, and if they have to plant by the 4th of July, it will be everything it can do to produce anything by the end of the year. And that's if we don't, into the crop year, and that's if we don't have problems with more rain or a drought, when the conditions have to be absolutely perfect to get anything at all out of the crop. One of the problems, again, with corn, if it's too wet while the corn is starting to sprout and growing, the root ball becomes too small. Then later on in the summer, when it's Kansas hot and Nebraska hot, the root ball isn't big enough
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David was just saying that, of course, with the corn, you've got to have a root ball, and if it's too wet, the root ball isn't large enough, and so that suddenly by the fall, tremendous heat comes down, of course, you're going to have to, you're just not going to have enough root base to nourish the plant. And of course, he was saying that the old saying, and they used to be talking about corn, knee high by the 4th of July. Well, 4th of July is, just about 11 days from now, And a lot of these places don't even have the corn in. If they do, why, it was drowned. And so we're going to have real problems with the corn crop this year. And what people don't understand is that 60% of all the corn that goes across the international boundaries, it comes from the United States. Now, a lot of people, a lot of countries produce their own corn. It's a staple of their diet. I know when I was in South Africa, it was something called mealy meal. It was a corn product that they pounded. A lot of Africa, they use corn as a basic staple. But certainly in Mexico, for instance, why we've pretty well destroyed all of their farms down there because, of course, of NAFTA, and they just couldn't make a living corn farming because we were subsidizing our corn crops were going in. Well, now, of course, the corn crop is a third of it's going to ethanol. The price of corn is over doubled, well over doubled. And, of course, it's going to be so expensive for the people in Mexico to buy it. And then we may be talking about significant decrease in the corn crop. And so then what's going to happen? So you pick the story up there, David.
Well, let's go back a little bit. You were talking about corn for ethanol. All right. Putin says, all right, we're going to devote maybe 20% of our tillable land to corn for ethanol. All right. If you or I were in the leadership, we're going, before we embark on this, let's fill up our food stores. Let's go back and fill up the silos with the things that we abandoned approximately 30 years ago in our strategic reserves before we embark on this. No. What they do is they just immediately switch to corn and begin to even at a higher rate fill up our food stores. So it couldn't have been any more bad timing and bad business decisions. It's, you and I have discussed this before, nobody considers this working in reverse or not working out. They always bet on it. Our leaders seem to bet on it always working in their favor. Well, it hasn't this time. It hasn't this time badly. When I say badly, it would not be impossible for us to be under martial law conditions because of food shortages. The Southern Hemisphere is in the winter right now, and they're short of food. You and I discussed this on an earlier show.
No, go ahead and repeat it again if you want to.
Well, okay. On an earlier program, we discussed this, that they are short food. They're up here with all that money, all that trade deficit money. They're buying us out. And to this day, we're still open for business. Farmers are selling to the highest bidder. And they're ratcheting our food prices up. But not just that. It's all being exported out of the country. It's dangerous, folks. This fall is going to be a very dangerous time like you've never seen before in this country. I'm telling you, to lay food stores away, like Dr. Stan told you at the beginning of the show, and if Stan and I are wrong, you can eat the food. If you're right, it's not going to get any cheaper. And if you're right, you're going to be glad you listened to this show.
Well, I mean, I really believe that there are very real problems coming down the line. Certainly, we can look and see what's happening in Africa, where, for instance, there's a wheat rust on the wheat crop, and they're going to eventually come up with a solution to that. They'll have it probably another 5 years. But an awful lot of people could starve to death in the meantime. And, of course, that wheat rust has gotten onto the wheat that has actually got over in Asia, and the wheat crop there is not in very good shape. We know that Australia, one of the largest wheat producers, has had a drought for 7 long years, so their wheat production is way, way down. And, of course, we don't really talk about that here in America because we're too interested in really important things. Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and what's going to happen now with the NFL. And, of course, you know, the latest tidbits about Barack Obama's wife and what she may or may not have said. And then here's Hillary and Bill, and they're always a good subject to bring up, especially with Monica Lewinsky. But the important issues that really affect our lives and the lives of people throughout the world, you're not going to read about the controlled press in America. You read about it in foreign media. You read about it up on the Internet. But as far as truth is concerned, why, of course, we really don't need that here in America. After all, we have a controlled media, and they know what's important for us, because the American people, they say, can really not, of course, accept the truth. Well, but David, certainly my understanding, because I know that 6 months ago you were calling me and just saying how terrible business was, but business is really picking up for you, isn't it? Aren't more and more people
beginning to say quite brisk? Nothing that would mimic the severity of the situation, but people are beginning to, quote, connect the dots, unquote. And that's the other reason. If you're going to lay away a storage food, now's the time to do it, because there won't be enough to go around, and there won't be enough time for just a small portion of the populace to get prepared.
Well,
that happens on regular store food, too. If everybody went out and, say, for the next 2 months, doubled their food purchases just to fill their pantries, there would be a shortage by, I would think, the end of summer.
Well, we do know, of course, that at least at the local Costco store, they still have the sign up there that says you're limited to one bag of rice, depending upon your previous purchase. You know, some of the people from the Chinese restaurants would be going there buying five bags of white rice a week. Well, of course, what you don't understand is that all of the food companies keep a track of everything you purchase, and whether it's at Costco or whether you're buying with a credit card or whether you're buying with one of these cards you get from Safeway or the other grocery stores, they're keeping a record of everything. And Costco can say, we know what your previous purchasing habits have been, and you're limited to one bag at a time, unless, of course, your prior purchasing habits justify taking more. But this sort of thing is really going on today, and as incredible as it may seem, why, of course, they know exactly what you're doing.
Well, we're talking about Costco and the rice that's there.
Right.
I was there the other day looking at it. You're right, the signs are still up. But the quality of the rice is not the quality of the rice they were selling 6 months ago or 8 months ago. It's still good. Don't get me wrong. It's still good. But it's not the Class A first cabin rice they had. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. It's already a problem. It's just that the average person hasn't figured it out. And that's where, when the average person figures it out, you need to be dug in and out of harm's way, if you know what I mean.
And I was very interested in talking to David the other day, and I said, well, how about just buying a 5-gallon bucket full of rice? Can you prepare that for me? He said, sure, we can prepare it, but it'll cost you more to have me ship it up to you than the rice would be if you simply bought it locally and put it into a container yourself. Is that right, David?
That's very true. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple buckets sitting here I'm going to ship you.
All right.
You can go to Costco and buy the rice and package it yourself. Now we're looking at the shipping expenses are becoming very, very cost prohibitive in this industry. Everybody is sticker shock when it comes to the cost of shipping. Years ago, I've told you this before, we used to figure on the average about a 10% cost factor for shipping. That's up into the 20% now in most cases.
And that's largely due to the increase in the price of diesel.
Yes, and just everything. The cost of diesel fuel, the cost of shipping, up and down the board. And it's not going to get better anytime soon, if ever.
And ladies and gentlemen, I think you have to understand that all of our prices are going up. The price of the food in the grocery stores is going up, at least in part because of the rising price of diesel, which is totally engineered. Of course, it doesn't matter. It's engineered. Whether it was real or engineered, it wouldn't matter. You are still going to have to pay the price because, of course, you simply have nothing to say about it. These things are determined by the people who really rule the world and run the world, and you, like a leaf on a river that's headed towards the waterfall, can't change the direction.
The end result
of the river
is still the same.
Amen.
You go without.
Well, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do you hear about the bees, and how much of an impact are they having on our agriculture, or this disappearance of so many of the hives?
Another good question. There's nothing new per se coming out on the colony collapse syndrome. I know that it's being talked about. It's affecting a lot of beekeepers, but I still, the number one evidence is, we've discussed this before, the new class of insecticides that were introduced just recently, the neonicotinoids, the nicotine-based insecticides that are out now that cause, they knew from the get-go, they caused bees to have trouble developing memory, and the bees leave the hive and just never come back.
They don't know where to go. I mean, it was amazing that the bees were able to find that hive after flying a couple of miles away from that. But You know, they always did. They had this wonderful, wonderful sense of knowledge, direction that God gave them. But now, of course, we poisoned that, destroyed that, and they knew this was going to happen. Why would anybody in our government be so foolish unintentionally?
They knew because back in, I think it was the 70s, they introduced Gaucho, which was a neonicotinoid-based insecticide. And it did the same thing. In France, they figured it out real quick what was going on, and they banned it. And then 30 years later or better, they come back and reintroduce it. The same problem exists today. Nothing changed. But they knew it, what the effect was. And it's bizarre. And our leaders are mute on the point. They're allowing this to happen. It's almost intentional. If I didn't really, shall we say, know any better, they can't make any poor decisions. Like when I was talking about filling up silos before we embark on committing so much of our resources to ethanol. That would only be prudent. But no, they don't do that. They just, either it's a leadership void or it's intentional, or both.
Or maybe if we're just following a gigantic plan that's going to lead to the four plagues of the apocalypse. We'll be right back with David. Well, David, you were right ahead. You were just talking about the question whether it was intentional or just happening by accident. And I sort of think that it's, who's behind it? We can't say, but we can say that if you wanted to destroy a great nation, impoverish our people, and, of course, kill an awful lot of people by famine, not only here but throughout the world, you couldn't be doing a better job. And certainly in third world countries with the skyrocketing price of the staples of the rice and of the corn and the wheat, why, a lot of these places where people are making $1 a day, they live on $1 a day on average. And there's another, that's about 1 billion people. Another 1 billion people live on $2 a day. But, I mean, double the cost of food. And these people are putting 60% of everything they make just into food, purchase the food, and you double the price of food. That doesn't leave them very much, does it?
That leaves them less than they started with.
Right.
All that is made is not enough, is what you're saying. And they can't borrow on their credit cards. They don't have credit cards. It's a mess. And it's going to get rapidly worse. And if you're waiting for Katie Couric to tell you there's a problem, it's too late. Because by the time she tells you, the panic will have started.
Well, let's see now. This is the end of June. We've got July, August. Some people say that September could be a very bad month. Have you looked into that?
Well, September's a big crop season, when a lot of the crops get harvested in September. Late August and September. That's when I think it's going to occur to a lot of people that there's a problem. For instance, I just recently talked to Larry Hagelin, president of the American Agriculture Movement, and he was telling me to get on the radio and get the word out that there's a problem. And I didn't solicit this from him. They're worried to death. He made a quote, and this is not verbatim, in a public statement about the half a loaf of bread that the government has just recently sold down the strategic food reserve from like 24.5 million bushels of wheat down to 2.4, I think it was. That's where that leaves us enough to make the half a loaf of bread for everyone. Right in the middle of the floods, when they know it was going bad. Right in the middle, they for humanitarian reasons, they sell to a foreign entity. Who it was, I do not know, but it was a big sale, or somewhat big. It's like adding gasoline to a fire. It's like, who made this conscious decision to sell us out like this? And at this point, it is becoming a sellout.
Well, I share your concern about it, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand that they have intentionally and purposely and maliciously actually sold off our grain supplies. And why this year at this time, when there's facing a crisis in all foods and all of our crops, are they suddenly doing everything they can to deplete the support stores which should normally be here? Now, of course, the American people pampered for a long time. We've been spoiled. We're used to having a store. You know, all you have to do is go down there and just pick up something at the store. Do you actually sell canned pardon me, corn, things like that? Or,
yes, we have dehydrated corn, down to about 3%. It's dried very slowly, 3% moisture. Yes, we do. And at the moment, I can get quite a bit of it. But I can't, I don't think I'll be able to say that much longer.
All right, fine. You hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with David Sibley. Ready Reserve Food, and we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is ready. This is David Sibley. Ready Reserve Food, and of course his job is to dehydrate food. We work with them, and we take orders for them, and that helps to support Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And one thing that David's been saying is that isn't it interesting that they had massive supplies of wheat and they sold it all off this year. They had about 24.5 million tons of bushels, whatever it is, and now they're down to about 2.1. Why would they do that in the name of humanitarian aid? Sell our wheat off when we maybe well be facing problems as far as our wheat and, pardon me, as far as our corn and soybean crops. We really don't know what's happening as far as the wheat, but we've got Bob calling from Idaho, listening on shortwave. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan and David.
Do you know anything about the wheat crop up there in Idaho?
I haven't paid that much attention to it. Of course, the winter wheat is doing fairly well, and now that is a high-protein turkey red wheat.
Right.
And it's the kind that, you know, that you store, but then there are regular storage mills here that have contracted the price of this wheat well in advance. So
okay.
I would presume that it'll be delivered at that price. But
could I break in right now? Delivered to who? That is the question. A lot of this stuff has been already sold under contract to foreign entities. In other words, when it gets harvested, it gets taken to Seattle and put on a ship and taken out of here.
Much of it is, yes.
That's a lot of it.
But,
Bob, what point did you want to make for the call?
Well, you know, I can't help but feel that a lot of it was my understanding, at least I heard it reported on shortwave, and that a lot of the OPEC countries, through their various brokers, have been buying futures on the corn crop, you know, more or less driving the price of petroleum substitutes up, and that's sort of going to dry up the corn market for human consumption.
Well, of course, what we ought to be doing is making ethanol out of sugar beets or making it out of grass or any sort of biomass they can make it, but they don't want a solution, they want the problem. Why, of all things, would they pick corn, which is such a staple here and has driven up the price then of corn so that the chickens cost more and the eggs cost more and all the other things we eat cost more? Why not use something else? Why? We can import it from Brazil far cheaper than we can actually manufacture it here. We wouldn't have to subsidize it.
Well, and it makes you wonder. I mean, it was my understanding that the presidential candidates were discussing energy, you know, and essentially you would think that the long-term solution to energy would be, of course, oil shale and drilling on the continental shelf. I mean, we know there's oil there. It's just a matter of tapping into it.
Sure.
On the North Slope in Alaska, not only that, but all the way around in the continental shelf around Alaska, there's plenty of oil, and pretty near all the way over to Siberia, I understand.
I think you're absolutely right, but the thing is they don't want a solution. They want the problem. They created the problem. You're absolutely right. Why don't we do the logical things? We could drill up in Anwar. Oh, we couldn't do that. That's the pristine wilderness up there, and of course we know that because the only people up there are a few reindeer. And it's frozen over about 10 months out of the year. It's all a lie. There's plenty of oil off our coast. There's plenty of oil. For instance, the governor of Montana recently said he thought there were 40 million barrels of oil in Montana and in the adjacent state of Idaho. But they do not want the solution. They want a justification for doing what they're doing.
Yes, and it's my understanding that the Chinese have been buying, that is the People's Republic, been buying a lot of the oil shale lands in Alberta and now Saskatchewan. I listened to his name, strikes me right now. I'm having a senior relapse, I guess, but he used to be the chaplain.
Oh, that was Lindsay Williams.
Yes, Lindsay Williams.
But you can actually hear him on our four-tape set on the oil deception as he tells that amazing story. So
yes, but
plenty
he said the production delivery price of, now he was talking about, you know, international barrels,
right.
but on a 42-gallon barrel, the production price, you know, at Alaskan ports was $4 a barrel. It was $5 a barrel for oil imported from the Middle East, and the Canadian oil, that is, you know, from oil shale, was about $40 a barrel. And I don't know if this was a constant dollar or was what the date on that production figure was, but where's all this markup going, Dr. Stan?
Somebody's making a lot of profit. Look at the Exxon stock and BP and Shell. Thanks very much. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Question? Can I get a question in?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Bob, one quick question before we let you go.
Yes, sir. It was my understanding that British Petroleum, which now operates the Atlantic Richfield oil pipelines in Alaska, took them both offline, of course, for maintenance. Now, this was a totally redundant system, a twin system all the way. Why in the world would they take them both offline at the same time if it was not essentially to cut production to drive the price up?
I think you're absolutely right. Bob, God bless, and thanks very much.
Thanks very much for your show, Dr.
Okay,
Stan.
Okay, bye-bye. And let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We had Wanda calling from, I think it was Illinois, but we lost her, but give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right now, let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi, Stan. A question back to the corn topic. I wondered if David knows anything of the heavy investments made by George Soros and Bill Gates going back probably around a year and a half ago in corn, buying up, I'm not sure what all, the stocks or futures. And I just wonder, is this whole thing being manipulated in their favor?
What do you think about that, David?
Good question. Okay, I'm so busy, and I don't mean to play this off. Just trying to see which way the wind blows, let alone who's blowing the wind around. I didn't even know Bill Gates was involved in that type of stuff.
The two of them and a few others, these articles were saying. There's very few articles, but you can find them on the net.
I'll start sniffing around and see what I can find.
Several billion dollars they put together amongst them.
Well, I'm sure they're doing very well financially. I don't think we'll have to worry about Bill Gates and George Soros, being out there with a little tin cup, you know, on the street corner.
They get so big that they can manipulate the market just
right.
by a large purchase.
Sure.
Also, the subsidies the government's been putting out over the last year towards corn, ostensibly in the ethanol effort.
Amen to that. Anything else you want to say, Mike?
Not for now, thanks.
God bless, and again, yes. Thanks very much for calling. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call. And our guest, of course, is David Sipley of Ready Reserve Foods, and we're talking about the fact that so many people refuse to realize that there's a very real question and a real problem, and what we hope to do is at least act, you know, sort of like a Paul Revere saying, the famine is coming. The famine is coming. We'll be right back in just a moment with David Sipley. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Wanda calling from Louisiana. She's listening on the Internet. Hi, Wanda. How are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I have a question. If you purchase rice in the store for storage, is there anything that you have to do to it to store it if you store it, like, in 5-gallon cans? And how long does the rice last? I'm going to hang up because I don't have a good connection
okay.
to hear you.
I hear
and
you
I'll fine. Listen. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, that's a good question, very legitimate question. The question is, if you store this in an airtight container, how long will it last? And, of course, does it go bad? Does it taste bad? Does it lose its nutritional value? I mean, what can we anticipate by buying rice and storing?
When you store rice, try to store like a parboiled rice. Okay, the difference is it's pre-cooked a little bit. What happens is when they cook it, they steam it. The vitamins and minerals go from the hull into the kernel itself. And then it's milled. It has some nutritional value. Regular white rice has almost no, after it's been milled, has almost no nutritional value. So it just goes through you.
So how then do we find out whether it's been properly
It'll tell you whether it's parboiled or not.
All right, fine.
All right. Now you put it in a nice clean food grade container and seal it up tight. That's one way, and you'll get a couple years storage out of that if you store it in a clean, dry place. Or you can take a piece of wild rice will store properly stored. I'm going to explain the way to properly store it. About 2 years, it's kind of oil in it. It won't last long. It'll go bad on you in about 2 years. Take a piece of dry ice about the size of a pack of cigarettes, maybe three-quarters that size. Put it in the bottom of the container, pour your rice on it to the top, allow that the CO2, the dry
nitrous oxide,
to basically melt and become a gas again. And as it melts and becomes gaseous, it displaces the oxygen that's in there. It becomes an inert atmosphere, and after it's melted, it'll take a little while. It'll give a little freeze burn to the rice that's in that immediate area that it's touching. Then you put the lid on, seal it up tight, and you now have an inert gas atmosphere that you've done homegrown.
Well, now, Chris, how do you know when the thing is really melted on?
Take a small piece that size and put it out on your table or someplace that it won't hurt, like a plate, and time how long under those ambient conditions it's going to take. All right? If it takes 10, 15 minutes, all right, you place the lid on just real lightly. And after about 15 minutes, give it 20 and put it in an area that there's very little or no air movement because the stuff is dense, but it's not that dense. You don't want it to get carried away. And then seal it up.
Now, where would you buy the dry ice?
Oh, I found locally at an Albertson. Some markets carry it. We also sell a system where you can do it with a tank, like a welding tank, of nitrogen, end up doing the same thing.
Well, now what about oxygen packets? Do they work fairly well?
I don't like the idea of oxygen packets.
All right, tell me about it. Why not?
Because what they do is they just convert the available oxygen to rust, to iron oxide. And it takes a period of time for that to happen, for that to go off. The way we do it, and we've been doing it for a long time, I know it works.
All right, fine. I think that's a lot better. I know about 40 years ago they used to use carbon tetrachloride. I don't think that's a very good idea.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Did they ever run into problems with that if people aired the wheat and things like that out afterwards or not?
No. As a matter of fact, I've had friends of mine that have gone back home that were kids when they used this method and helped their grandfather put wheat away. Now they're grown adults and parents. Well, they've gone home, a good friend of mine, went home for his grandfather's funeral. This stuff had been stored for 25 years. He helped his grandfather do it. They opened it up. He says, it looked like we did it yesterday.
Okay, fine.
So it does work.
All right, fine. Well, it sounds like the dried ice is the way to go, though, because this is your field. You know better than I do. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have any questions, to ask David, because he's been at this business for a good long while. Ready Reserve's been around, for about 40 years now?
Since 1972, 38 now?
And how long have you owned it now?
About the last 11.
Okay, fine. And so he's the boss down there, and of course, they on a regular basis, they cook this. Now, question has been asked, if the rice isn't parboiled, can it be done at home and then preserved?
You know, I've never tried the parboiling, by the time you get rice, if you get whole rice, I guess you could. You could try it.
And how would you go about parboiling it?
Well, it's steamed.
Oh, you just steam it up.
The steaming causes it's semi or par cooked. And it, the steaming causes the nutrients to go into the kernel, and then it's milled. It's just a lot easier and a lot cheaper just to buy parboiled rice.
All right,
it's
fine.
Available.
Now, what about things like minute rice and things like that sort? Do they have nutritional value, or they just sort of look good?
Well, minute rice, I know that, like Uncle Ben's converted rice,
right,
is basically parboiled rice.
All right, fine. So Uncle Ben's is not a bad way to go.
Right, it works fine.
All right, fine. And so we have a couple of callers calling in. If anybody else wants to call, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But these are all the things that you really need to know right now. Of course, we've got Clem calling from Ohio, and there he is. Hi, Clem. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Where do you get the dry ice?
He said here in California, he buys at the grocery
Ooh,
store called
Albertson.
That's
a long ways to go.
I know it is. But basically,
800 miles.
How would you suggest that Clem back there in Ohio get his dry ice?
Look in the phone book. Just look up dry ice.
Dry ice. Okay.
We're talking about a regular bucket, one of those like buckets I use to put, you get mayonnaise and mustard comes into restaurants.
That'll work. Mayonnaise and mustard would be food grade to begin with. Make sure you know where it's been, that no one's put anything in the interim. Get it good and clean. And when I say clean, just
bleach and water.
That'll work. And get it good and clean to where you're satisfied that it's clean. And
dry it good.
Dry it very good. Yeah, you want to keep the moisture out. Moisture is not your friend.
Now you throw the wheat in there, and where do you put the, how big is the chunk of dry ice? About the size of what, you said?
Pack of cigarettes.
And you put it at the very bottom?
Okay, yes. Now, here's something you can do. Take a little piece of dry ice, maybe the size of a quarter, a stack of quarters that are five high. Put them in a large jar, a peanut butter jar. Put a little bit of water on it and watch it behave. We've all seen the Halloween thing where the dry ice is basically making the fog. That's what you're going to do inside of the bucket. And as that comes up, that it's displacing. It's heavy. It's not trying to diffuse out into the air. It's a very heavy gas.
Rather than pushing the oxygen out of the bucket?
It's pushing it out, yes.
Okay.
Very slowly, kind of lay the lid on so it's got a place to go out, but so draft can't carry it away. And if you really want to be sure, make sure that you're done, when you think the thing is full, take a match and put it in over the top of the grain. If the match goes out, there's no oxygen.
Excellent. How far from the top of the bucket should I leave a space?
I would think down about a half inch. You want to get as much yield out of each bucket.
And how long do I leave the lid off before I... Did you say put the lid on lightly?
Well, the reason
that
the lid is just... It's kind of just laying there off to one side a little bit. Now the oxygen has somewhere to go out.
Right.
And when you go to put the lid on, you don't have to create a draft. You know, you're going to create some draft across there, which will push the gas away. So you want to be very gentle, very surgical, and
hope for the best.
That's why I said.
Where do you get the? Where in the phone book do I look?
Look up dry ice in your phone book. There's probably someone there that sells it. The reason I have you do this little thing with the quarters is you can play with it. If you put a little water on it, you'll be able to see the gas.
Yeah, I used to put nipples on it when I was a kid, 100 years ago.
You know it, and you've done it before. You can see how it behaves. Going, oh, I can. If I do this, it moves on me.
And if you can't find any back there, Clem, you can always come out here to California and stay with us.
All the way to California.
God bless
you. I'd be afraid to come out there and I'd get killed by a Mexican, an illegal alien.
even that, it get caught in one of our fires anyway, of course.
You must be up to your neck in them by now. Where are you at?
We're in the Monterey Bay area.
Oh,
no,
Monterey
there are
Bay.
a lot of wonderful Mexican people. I don't blame them for wanting to come here. It's just that they're going to destroy the country, and
yeah,
we'll end up just like Mexico does. But anyway,
yeah, I know. We're on our way there.
God bless. Thanks so much for calling, Clem. Let's go to Scott calling from Hollister. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead. Scott?
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Stan. I had a couple quick questions for your guest today. I had a question that might have already been answered. I tuned in a little late. But what is a bottle of water you get off the shelf at the stores, how long or how safe is that to store in the average containers? And the second part of the question is, what are some of the best protein supplies as far as maybe canned tuna or anything else would be the next best supply to have on hand.
Okay, protein, if you don't mind, a little bit of Hormel. All the Hormel canned products will last years. Yes, they've got a fair amount of chemicals in them, but they work, and they will last, and they are a very good source of protein.
Now, is that Spam, or what's in Hormel?
Spams, you name it.
All right,
anything
fine.
That Hormel makes that's canned is very good. I heard a story, I've never been able to substantiate it, that back in the 90s, they found Spam that was built under a government contract for the war, World War II. So it was pretty old. And they found it, and they opened it up, and it was still quite good. Down on nutritional value, but still edible and good.
Okay, and Scott, fortunately we have Costco's around here. You can get a lot of things pretty cheap there. And just start stocking up. And, of course, if you want to get long-term items, we'll be glad to send you a catalog. Anything else?
Exactly. And the second part of the question was the water, like the bottled water in the store. How safe is it to store that?
Okay. Not by bottled water, like in the smaller containers. The reason is there's a chemical, and I do not know the name of the chemical, that after a period of time is in that plastic. After a period of time, it's to release itself and begin to break down the plastic. So when it goes to a landfill, it breaks down. Okay? But nobody tells the chemical when to go off. And there's a lot of people think that it's partially to blame for this massive increase in cancers. So you either want to store. There are like a sparklets bottle, a plastic sparklets bottle that you would get on a water cooler. It does not contain that breakdown plastic, so it's substantially more safer.
I think the product is called bisphenol, and this is the thing that's so toxic in the baby bottles, baby plastic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Scott?
That's it. That where they found that supply of Spam and everything was at one of the footings of the Bay Area bridges, and that was true that they found that in the saltine crackers for the Civil Defense Program. And,
was it?
It still has nutritional value to it, too. Okay.
Well, the other thing is, Scott, if you're going to store anything in bottled water, keep it cool. It's when you heat it up that you get into trouble. So do not get it any place that's going to be warm, and make sure that it hasn't been warm before you got it.
If you can,
exactly. With the organ levels released in the certain types of plastics and everything
right.
else, it causes a lot of havoc. So
store it in glass if you can.
Amen to that.
Anything
Thank
else? You, sir.
Okay, thanks very much. Let's go to Fred calling from Michigan. My goodness, we got a lot of calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
No, it doesn't do any good to complain, does it?
Amen. Well, God is on the throne, and that's all that matters.
Amen. Amen. You know, we got a lot to be thankful for with all the terrible things happening. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, actually, I wanted to let you guys know that. First of all, Dr. Stan, I really appreciate your program, and I just received this shortwave radio not too long ago, and good Lord has let me dial into you. I found you on the whole spectrum, so I try to look for you every night. And,
all right.
You know, listen to your program. But I wanted to let you guys know that you can get dry ice through an ice cream store.
Really?
Okay.
Yes, because they use it to...
We have a local Albertsons here that sells it. Albertson's Market, so I don't know.
They have an ice cream store. That's an interesting thing. Why would they have dry ice in an ice cream store, Fred?
Well, usually when they deliver it, some of them use it to pack it in the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work for a grocery store that when they'd get their deliveries of ice cream and that, the driver would toss all his dry ice into a big, huge garbage can that we had in the back of the store.
Okay.
Of course, it destroyed the garbage can because it just froze the garbage can to nothing and it just shattered if somebody hit it.
But, right.
ice cream stores, that's where I know in Michigan you can get them from. We used to use them also, like you said, for Halloween and that, for fog.
Right. By the way, I didn't tell your listeners that dry ice is unbelievably cold and you'll get a freeze burn, so handle it with care.
Yeah, you don't want to touch it.
Gloves. I mean, you'll only do that twice, the first and second time is one time.
Okay.
The first time this thing bites you, you have to handle it differently. It's not like regular ice. It is extremely cold. It's like 140 degrees below, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they say it's like fire.
Yes, it'll burn you, but it's not dangerous. What makes it dangerous is the fact that it can give you a freeze burn. You're not going to hang on to it too long if it's burning you.
Okay, anything else, Fred?
No, sir, that's it.
Hey, well, thanks very much. You get the rest of the people. Say, how do you hear us? Did you hear us there at all on any of the radio stations back there, or just get us on shortwave?
Just on shortwave.
Okay, very good. You know, we do a program in the evening there on WHRI. Of course, that's pretty late to your time, 11 o'clock. But anyway, you can always go to our website, get all the details. God bless. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, David, we're just about out of time. Basically, do you want to get your website out there?
ReadyReserveFoods.com.
ReadyReserveFoods.com. Go ahead.
And I'm telling your listeners, both of us are, basically, to store food. Do it now. Start buying extra food, whether you buy it from Dr. Stan or you buy it from Ready Reserve or you buy it from your local market. Get prepared. And if we're wrong, you're going to eat the food anyway.
Well, you buy from Dr. Stan, you're going to get it from Ready Reserve, because we don't. I don't stand there with the dry ice in my hand.
Well, the point is yes, and it does go to support this program. This program is on the air because of listener support and purchasing the food from you. So you can help Dr. Stan in his effort to get the word out by purchasing from him.
And we appreciate that plug. And basically, I think it's a good idea, and I really believe that we are going to see the four horsemen of the apocalypse galloping across the world stage here in the coming months. And I'm not saying that it is to frighten you, because we want to sell food. I really believe that people have to make preparations, and you have to make all sorts of preparations. You have to lay in your medical supplies. You have to have, you know, the ability to have light in your home and warmth. And we may lose many of the things that made our life so comfortable. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope and pray it doesn't. But, I mean, I really fear that God is going to bring his judgment on this nation, especially here in California where I live, where our Supreme Court is flaunting the laws of God openly. They know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, there is a spiritual component to everything that's going on today, and certainly the perversion and the immorality is it spreads across our nation, and God will not be mocked. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, David, you got 3 minutes to wrap the program up for us.
Okay, 3 minutes.
3 minutes, right.
All right. To your listeners, what the doctor and I are telling you are true. We're not trying to scare you into purchasing. We're trying to inform you that things are not the same as they were in the past. We're in a leadership void. We have problems. We're global now, and they are systematically taking this country apart. Our leaders are standing there flat-footed while it's happening, and they will not lead. They do not know how to be statesmen. And you're on your own, and you need to begin to prepare like you're on your own. And when Dr. Stan talked about the next few months, it's upon us. It is upon us because of problems that have happened on the other end of the world, the Southern Hemisphere. They're short. They're having droughts. They're having serious problems. So we have no one, if our crops fail, which they have technically failed, we have nothing to draw from and nowhere to go. There is no backup in a reserve around the world. And earlier doctor was talking about a wheat rust that is killing the wheat crop up in Pakistan, into China, it's into Iran. It's a mess. This is a big mess. And you need to have enough food stored away to feed yourself from now until the next crop cycle, because this won't be allowed to happen again. There's going to be such public outcry, and they have a whole bunch of social unrest, but you need to prepare so you're here with us for the next crop cycle.
All right, fine. Somebody just called and said that if dry ice would explode if you put in bottles and capped it. Is there any truth to that?
Well, the dry ice becomes gaseous and it expands, right. Yes. It'll just create pressure and eventually it'll pop the bottle. Yeah, it's changing from a solid to a gas, and it becomes gaseous and will build pressure and blow the bottle apart.
All right, so you don't want to put the top lid onto your container until it's all until it's
what would happen is it would just deform the bucket and it would swell, and you'd know something was wrong.
Okay, fine. Well, there's a lot to learn, but I'm sure that you helped our people today learn a lot about these things. And well, David, I want to thank you for giving us a call.
Thanks for having me.
David's in constant touch with us. He calls when things are going well. He calls when things are not going well. But he's a fascinating source of information, and we all need to begin thinking about what does the future really hold. I do not believe that the America I grew up in exists anymore. And I think that we're going to see dramatic changes in the structure of our society in the coming weeks and months. God bless, David. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you later. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Somebody had actually called in and mentioned that you have to be careful handling dry ice, that if you put it in a bottle and cap the bottle, the bottle will explode. And that's true. That's why when you first put the dry ice in the can, then you want to be sure that it's all certainly gone out before you it's all converted into gas before you put the cover on. And the reason for that is if you don't, why it'll expand the bucket. So that's why you have a piece of dry ice lying adjacent to you, so you can watch that and make sure it's gone. And in other words, it all disappeared before you put the cover on the bucket. Once you get used to it, there probably won't be a problem. But it's something you're going to have to think about doing. You're going to have to learn a lot of things. In fact, we carry a wonderful book called Making the Best of Basics. It's only, I think, $12.95. Making the Best of Basics, but it tells you what your grandparents and your great-grandparents did as far as food and food preparation is concerned. If you'd like, of course, to get a emergency food catalog, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. And, of course, if you have access to a computer, well, I will set it to you on computer. I guess you get a written food catalog under any circumstances, but our regular catalog and our health catalog does come on a CD-ROM, which is a lot easier if we send that to you. However, if you want a written catalog, we'll be glad to send that as well. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Let me suggest our four-tape set on civilian defense. Let me suggest our book on making the best of basics. We've got a great DVD on sheltering in place. How do you prepare your home in case there's an emergency, nuclear, biological, chemical? If you're going to go out and get duct tape and plastic, why, of course, you'll simply smother yourself and your family. You have to know what to do, and it's really very simple, but you need to think about it ahead of time. You need to have this DVD on hand and watch it through a couple of times and get the few things that are required to have on hand. And then, of course, when the crisis comes, you're not going to be out on the street bumper to bumper with all these other cars, not going to every place, running out of gasoline. You can shelter in your own home. So that's the DVD, Sheltering in Place. The four-tape set or four-CD set on civilian defense. The book, Nuclear War Survival Skills. And lastly, Making the Best of Basics. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know how they've actually altered our weather and created all the storms and tornadoes and hurricanes, you need to get the book on weather warfare, and the scientific evidence is there. You need to get a four-tape set on weather modification for CD or four-tape set, and then, of course, the DVD that was put out by our good friend Bob Fletcher, which gives you all sorts of references on it. Do you know, for instance, that they had a United Nations treaty going back to the 70s that we would not use weather warfare on our enemies? Well, how could we use weather warfare if we can't modify the weather? The truth is, of course, we can modify the weather, but it's all top secret. We can't let the American people know. Because they might tell Osama bin Laden, you know what he would do if he knew what we were doing over here. No, ladies and gentlemen, it all has to do with concealing the truth from the American people about weather modification and the hurricanes that are and the tornadoes and certainly the great droughts and then the great storms. How would you modify the weather patterns? Why, you'd use the High Altitude of Rural Research Project. We have a book called HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. HARP, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. We have a four-tape set on the High Altitude of Rural Research Project. That's HARP. You need to get this information. You need to understand that this is not imaginary. It's really very real. And I can recommend very highly Bob Fletcher's DVD on weather modification. You can just call in and ask for it. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that behind everything going on today are powerful spirits or forces that are directing the affairs of men. And of course, there are people there who would like to fulfill the prediction of the four horsemen of the apocalypse so they can bring their Christ to earth, not the Christ that we worship, but the other Christ. I certainly, again, our number 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5KU Band, frequency 1183.